Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about.
Your football talk, your way.
Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Do you think you have, like, do I think it's a Final Four team? Do I think it's like a team you could pencil into the Sweet 16? Absolutely not, but I still think it's probably the best team in the AAC without David Jones. Tyrese Hunter is a really good player.
Yeah.
You know, you saw what P.J. Haggerty did last year in the American.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. You know, it looks good on paper.
Colby Rogers is like, you know, was a at the end of last year was one of the five or six best players in the league. I wouldn't say he was that all year, but at the end of the year, he was one of the five or six best players.
Well, to me, if Jones is back, it's less than Colby's hoping to have. That's the guy that, to me, is the one that
probably
whose minutes
yeah.
go down with David Jones coming back. I know we've talked about how you can play small ball and get him out there, but
now you'll be a little
because Tyrese and PJ are playing.
Yes, but you'll also be a little light on the wing if you don't have David Jones. That is the one complicating issue.
That's why he's talking about Jordan in there, and
Because you don't like Colby point. Rogers is more of a shooting guard than a wing. Like, can play him on the wing, but if you're facing anyone with size,
you buzzed.
No.
I'm just making sure.
It's my wife.
David Jones news could come. That could come from your wife. We don't know.
She saw David Jones at Chick-fil-A. He's coming back.
Again, this makes I don't know why we've waited this long. And again, maybe it's just a deal where he's willing to take anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's my gut tells me him waiting this long is him like waiting till the last minute to hear something.
Yep.
And I just don't think he's going to hear what he wants to hear. He still might go. He just seems like a guy who that's what he wants to do, and that's fine. I think the only reason he hasn't decided at this point is because I would guess there are people in his ear going, you know, David, I know you want to do this, but this is not a smart decision. We'll see. It'll be interesting. But I think, like I said, ultimately, I think Memphis will be okay, even if he doesn't come back.
Alarmed? I was going to try to slide it in before I get you out of here. Alarmed at all? John's alarmed.
About the assistant stuff? Turnover. I mean, I think if you look at it at a macro level, the turnover on the staff hasn't helped things. I'll just be perfectly blunt. I don't really know what Andy Borman added to this staff, ultimately.
No players. We know that.
And I don't think he was very... I don't think yesterday's news that he has not been retained... I think he was not retained for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nice guy, but, like, ultimately he was an AAU coach who happened to be Coach K's, nephew, I think?
Yeah, nephew.
And I don't think... Ultimately, I have no problem with him leaving... You know, probably if you look back, you go, what was the point of hiring him? He hasn't really done much here.
Cunningham was what you were telling yourself then.
From what I gathered, being like we talked about this with Taylor Jenkins. From what I gathered, watching games last year.
Oh yeah, you like to watch those huddles and yes. Who's talking to the head coach?
Penny talks to Rick Stansberry and Faraji Phillips, and sometimes, and frankly, Jermaine Johnson when he's around.
Yep.
Has his ear, and then even. Who they brought, Jamie Rosser this year felt more involved
yeah,
in scouting than anyone.
You never saw Borman in the ear in those huddles.
He was more of like the guy, you know, keeping the players together. Yep.
No, I think you're right. I'm trying to look for the value. I can't find any.
And so I'm not, assistant coach turnover only becomes an issue when someone's looking to make it an issue. And I'm not. That's not to criticize John. It's like when like your ball, like I covered when Seth Greenberg got fired at Virginia Tech.
Yes.
And like the overlying reason, the reason the AD used at the very end was because Seth kept losing assistants and he didn't like that Seth was losing assistants. But the reality was he didn't like Seth and he was looking for a reason to get rid of Seth Greenberg. And so it only becomes an issue when your boss wants to make it an issue. I think, you know, Rick Stansberry decided to stay. I think that was more important than anything else. You know, I don't know exactly what the makeup of the assistant coaching staff is going to be. You know, like, I haven't heard anything specific on Faraji's future. I know him and Penny are very close.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'd say this. Whether it's an assistant coach or something else, Faraji, I would guess, will be a part of the program moving forward. We know Andre Turner is going to be part of the program, but figuring out who's exactly going to be the three assistants. One, I don't think it matters that much anymore.
Two and three don't matter as much if you got Rick in that spot because the recruiting ties don't matter as much.
Well, the recruiting ties don't matter. It's transfer portal recruiting anyways, and so like your assistants aren't really on the road that much anymore.
Exactly.
And then the NCAA changed the rule now. Non-coaches are allowed to coach and practice now.
Mm-hmm.
So like
all those support staff guys.
Yeah, like if Andre Turner's not an assistant coach, he can still help coach and practice.
Out there.
You know, right. If Faraji's
that
not an assistant coach,
that was
they just changed it like in the last year.
Yeah.
Like they just changed
it. You're right. I remember.
Everyone, all the support staff can now coach.
Yep.
And so, like, it's not like who's designated assistant in this era? You know, like to your point, like it's important to have someone like Rick Stansberry. It's important who your right hand man is or woman. Like that's what's important. So,
agreed.
We'll see what Penny does with the rest of the stuff.
All right, man. Keep up the good work. Appreciate you. He is Mark Giannotto. Make sure you're following him on X at MGiannotto. Make sure you're reading him, including today's column on the Memphis football situation. And right now, the golden opportunity they've got in front of them this season over at commercialappeal.com. We'll be back with the rundown. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Been talking a lot about Memphis athletics, University of Memphis athletics there that first hour. We have not talked a lot about what transpired in game four last night. And I thank Anthony Edwards, and I thank the Minnesota Timberwolves, because if Dallas had closed out the series last night, and they didn't, losing 105-100, we wouldn't have anything until next Thursday. Finals wouldn't start till next Thursday.
So they did us a solid. Hey!
No question.
How about Anthony going off on Mike Conley in the press? Lots of stuff happening.
A lot of stuff. They didn't just extend the series, Minnesota, last night, but they extended Fade Brad. We can do that
tomorrow.
Yeah,
we got Fade Brad tomorrow again.
There will be a game
five.
So we're very thankful to Anthony Edwards, who with 29 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, was absolutely fantastic. And down the stretch, I thought was extra impressive was that they had switched. Chris Finch had made a very important switch adjustment. And he put Anthony Edwards on Luka Doncic late, allowing then Jade McDaniels to switch over to Kyrie Irving, use some of that length, throw Kyrie off a little bit. And while I don't think it's a fix for the series, the other thing they did was move Anthony Edwards over to point guard there in that second half. And he finished with 9 assists. And here's the thing, we've seen Anthony Edwards as a playmaker and them run blitzes in him, and they struggled before. I think it worked last night. I don't think it's a fix for the series. But last night it certainly threw Luka and Kyrie off Kyrie fell to 14-1 in closeout games. First one he's ever lost when his position, his team is in position to close out the other team. Had 16 points, 6 of 18 shooting. So, again, it looked like the defensive adjustment, putting McDaniels and some of that length on him, again, threw Kyrie mm-hmm. off. Kyrie had been shining so far in these in this series in particular, having been called out pretty much by Anthony Edwards there after the Minnesota Timberwolves finished off the Denver Nuggets. Anthony Edwards said, "I got Kyrie." To this point, up until last night, Kyrie had the better of it, averaging about 28 points in this series, up from about 18 points per game last series. So you woke up the Giant. Again, last night, you threw those two guys off. There at the end, I will say, Luka made it. You know, he made it dramatic because he had a chance at a 4-point play there
that
late,
was crazy.
Cut it to two. And if he'd made the free throw there, there was a chance there to cut it down again. And there was an absolute opportunity for Dallas to feel like to steal one again. But Minnesota found a way this time to hold on. Karl Anthony Towns, I have to say, was a big part of that. Last night, finally.
Yeah, he came through.
He did. Topped the 20-point mark for the first time this series. Karl Anthony Towns did with 25 points, 5 rebounds. Wasn't doing much on the boards, but the threes down the stretch.
Yeah.
And you have to give Karl Anthony Towns credit because with Anthony Edwards playing sort of at the point there, found Karl Anthony Towns with the team down one, down two. Karl Anthony hits that three, hits another one that puts them up for good. So back-to-back threes from Karl Anthony Towns were huge from them. He had hit just 3 all series and hit 4 last night. So him stepping up was critical in terms of them winning. And look, I mean, it was still close. Like, in a lot of ways, you know, not to mention Dallas didn't have Lively, who was out with the, I guess they're calling it a neck injury, but got hit in the head the game before. You know, they weren't at full strength. You were trying to make up for the loss of him.
Yeah.
And it was still a close game. And so that's why I would hesitate to say, and you saw some of it this morning already, you know, from the ESPNs of the world, oh, Minnesota can get back in this and everything else. And no, I still think Dallas... you know, with the caveat that last night they were thrown off by an adjustment of switching Anthony Edwards up, I still think Dallas has got Minnesota for the most part figured out this series, and I do not expect all of a sudden we're talking about this thing going 7 because Minnesota's winning the next 2. At some point, Dallas is going to shut this down.
Can we talk about that
especially
for a second?
Especially if you get Lively back.
I want to talk about that for a second because you're right about everything you just said. Having said that, if we're thinking the window could potentially be just, let's call it, 4%, 5% open, or less. Like, if it's going to be that, if you watched Luka in that second half, how many plays he was taking off, it was wild how many he was taking off, especially on the defensive side. He was directing traffic away from himself.
Yep.
I mean, almost the whole second half, he was directing traffic away. He was alternating possessions about every third or fourth play, it seemed like. So if he's not right, like last night was the first time in the second half where I watched this series and I went, something, this is the first time he looks like really hampered. I don't know if you saw the same thing or not.
I mean, I want to say last night the analyst even talked about it, how he was taking some plays off defensively and everything else, trying to save some strength, trying to save it down the stretch, some endurance and everything else. And the other thing, Jason Kidd's done a pretty remarkable job actually getting them, him and Kyrie, because they are so critical to have on the floor, buying them extra time with timeouts just in terms of trying to get them
a blow
longer on the bench than the actual game time, because you're calling these timeouts and everything else, basically just to get them, allow them to catch their win.
Yeah.
I've looked at Luka earlier in these playoffs and thought, man, that guy's hobbled. He's not going to be able to give everything. I just think last night he's picking his spots. And maybe in a spot where we thought the urgency would be on 10, you want to close them out so you're not going giving Minnesota new life.
Right.
You're not giving the Boston Celtics all the time in the world in terms of a time advantage on getting rested. Figured they'd have. Yeah. I thought I saw a Luka not, and he said this down the stretch. He said this afterwards. I don't think he matched Minnesota's back against the wall energy. There.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I heard that.
Look, Anthony Edwards had looked, in Minnesota for the most part, they had looked like the ones that were tired mm-hmm. all series long, you know, sort of worn down.
Yep.
And you wondered again how much of that was the 7-game series with Denver that they had just been through. I think last night down the stretch, you saw Anthony Edwards come alive and fight off those ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And Doncic and those guys didn't match the energy level. Again, you're trying to do this without a guy who you could argue has been their third most important player, fourth most important player, and Derek Lively.
Yeah.
Like not having him out there last night, and you're having to play Maxi Kleba and trying to Dwight Powell trying to fill in,
yep.
not the same. It's not the same in terms of the threat level you've got with Lively and with Gafford. When the two of those guys are creating and initiating offense, Kyrie and Luka, and you were still right there in position to win. I just think, yes, and look, Luka, I mean, it was basically a triple-double for him. It's hard to say that you took
a night off. Yeah.
But I do think he had a hard time matching what was this do-or-die energy down the stretch from Minnesota. Again, if Karl Anthony Towns doesn't hit those threes, which he had not done all series long, then they're not winning that game. Then Dallas was up. It was in control. Yeah. It was the two Karl Anthony Towns threes that sort of gave them back control down the stretch. That game was still close with Luka not 100, you know, and no Derek Lively. They get Lively back.
Yeah.
They're still going to win this series. Again, I hold my hand up. I was wrong. Had Minnesota in six. Dallas has made a believer in me. Look at how shorthanded they were last night. Still in that, you know, again, Luka and
man,
Kyrie
Gafford
off.
Looked great again down
and they
by
were
the rim.
Still, they were still in that game. They were getting contributions from Hardy off the bench, like guys that just like we're you know, they're deeper than they look, too.
Yeah.
All that said, because Kleba, even though he didn't play well offensively, he's still not right. He took a charge, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Like, that buy-in that they've got on defense, it had him in the game. But in the end, the town shots were too much in terms of putting them back up. And so was Anthony Edwards. A credit to Anthony Edwards, making plays both defensively, deciding, okay, you know, with Chris Finch, I'm going to guard Luka Doncic, but then having the ball in your hands down the stretch that had typically, and we saw without Mike Conley, that had been an ugly formula for Minnesota when he's typically on the ball. Last night, they take Mike Conley off the ball. The adjustment worked. I'm not sure it works going forward as a fix.
Yeah.
Neither just putting Anthony Edwards on Luka. I do think last night those slight adjustments worked in terms of throwing off Dallas.
I thought Ant finally looked comfortable with the mid-range. He hit some big shots over
mid-range.
There.
Mid-range. I'm glad you said that.
Really
he was
good.
Using his mid-range
little
game.
Bank off the bounce.
Going there.
Yeah.
Stop selling for threes. Like he said, he'd been standing in the corner down the stretch of these games, not initiating offense, not being a part of it, sort of letting it, you know, I'm just going to let this play out. No, you're the face of this team. You have to take over down the stretch. And in the end, it was deferring to Karl Anthony Towns, but he was the one making the plays. Worked out for them last night. I still think Dallas is clearly in control. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that Minnesota's going to won't even come close to saying Minnesota's going to be the first team to come back.
You think they could get it to 0-3. Six, maybe? I think maybe six.
I mean, I do because you can win this next one in Minnesota. I mean, that energy should be palpable.
Yeah,
in there in this next game tomorrow. And so I figure, yes, Minnesota can get it to six.
Yeah.
But I don't think Dallas lets –
I think that's where I'm at.
Dallas would be smart not to let him out of Dallas for game six. And you saw Anthony Edwards doing all the promising, and he'll be back.
Yes,
much like he did in Denver.
Yep.
He, you know, basically promising those attendants. In this case, it was Micah Parsons who had on some Anthony Edwards shoes, and Anthony saying, I'm going to be back to give you a new pair. Micah Parsons, huge Dallas Mavericks fan, had his Luka jersey on, but also had a pair of AEs on that Anthony Edwards acknowledged. Found out what size shoes Micah wears, 14, says he's going to be back to give him those shoes for, I guess, yes, that would be what, a game six?
Game six.
That would be a game six.
So now I have to figure out who I'm going to pick tomorrow, and there's a little time here, so I don't want to over-research this thing, but I'm
what's
sure.
What's that line? What's that line?
That's what I was
right
going
now?
To. I was just looking at it. It's going to be on.
Morning.
By the way, we're going to have the game tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Looks like 4.5, Minnesota by 4.5. Started at 5.5, worked its way down to 4.5 right now.
You'll be
now.
Taking Dallas in the points. Seems like you've had Dallas no matter what, underdog or favorite here the last.
Consistently, I like the 5.5 points on the road. I think the thing I will say about this series, I've enjoyed this a lot more, win or lose, than the Boston series because I like the younger players. Luka is fun to watch. Anthony's fun to watch. Karl Anthony struggled until last night. He looked right last night. That was the difference.
About time.
Yeah, that was the
difference.
Again,
I would tell you, $49 million a year, you're too inconsistent.
That, right? Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Naz Reid is a more consistent player than you are says a lot about you. Now, again, I thought Karl Anthony Towns had turned a corner just in terms of leadership. No, knowing, number one, okay, this isn't mine anymore. It's Anthony Edwards. A lot of times that's a hard thing to do. So like Dwayne Wade giving up control of the Miami Heat after LeBron comes in. Like, you've been the guy, and a new guy comes in. It's hard to give up that control, so it's your team. Mm-hmm. And realize, honestly, within yourself that it's the best thing for the team. I thought we had kind of reached that with Karl Anthony Towns, but there's still too much inconsistency. Last night, still only 5 rebounds.
No.
And he had some questionable fouls. He fouls out of that game. We talked about
bad
how important
fouls.
He was.
Bad
but had
fouls.
Some dumb fouls.
Reaching. And
it's like, dude, you are too far into your career to be making these little boy mistakes that you do, and the crying that goes with it and accompanies it's just
it's unnecessary.
It makes me roll my eyes. And again, for the folks that are saying, man, you know, like, because we had a little bit of it yesterday. We were talking about, you know, potential trade packages for the Grizzlies. Karl Anthony Towns makes too much money to be that inconsistent. I wouldn't want him anywhere around this Grizzlies
team. You need a rebounder.
Frankly, I think there's an argument to be made that Minnesota, even though they were number one in defense this year, and Karl Anthony Towns was a big part of that, still got the four-time defensive player of the year, make the case that Minnesota will be better off in the future moving on from Karl Anthony Towns and using those resources somewhere else.
Next story.
All right, so you talked about this in the first hour. I'm really excited about this story because Major League Baseball just announced that they're going to include the Negro League stats in their overall Major League Baseball record books.
Huge, changes a lot.
This is a massive game changer for the statistics in the MLB record books, including Josh Gibson became Major League Baseball's career leader with a .372 batting average. He takes Ty Cobb's slot, not by a few percentage points. He goes from Ty Cobb's .367 to .372 batting average as a career leader now. Negro Leagues records 2,300 players, including Memphis Red Sox player, as the Daily Memphian points out, from our proud Negro League Baseball team that fielded teams here in Memphis from 1920. And this is the wild thing that I didn't realize. These teams in Memphis, the Red Sox, played till 1959. Pretty late they were playing baseball here in Memphis. And if you look at what they're going to do, they're basically going to play a Negro League tribute game on June 20th. The St. Louis Cardinals are going to play the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, and they're going to play on June 20th. We're going to have the game on 790 here, but it's going to be nationally televised on Fox. And to commemorate the combination of all the statistics, Jason, that's the date where the public can go online and it will be made public, all of these records. And it's all been done through Major League Baseball. They've put it all together, all the statistics. So on the 20th of June, we'll be able to see all the records, including the Major League Baseball new batting average champion. That would be Josh Gibson from the Negro League.
So going to commend Manfred here. You know, and I've been critical of baseball just in terms of catching up with the times and the old snobbish attitudes and, you know, the dinosaur that it has allowed itself to become. You have to be current. You have to evolve. You have to revolutionize. And I think in this instance, this was some, not that this wasn't long overdue, but I want to credit him here because this is something that it's not just important to the Negro League players who played, and particularly to their families who are still alive. Many of these players are gone, including Josh Gibson, obviously. It's important to baseball and the history of baseball. And so to include it, again, as being honest about the entire game and the way you dismissed black players for years, not good enough, not our level and everything else, when clearly they were. And again, look at what black players had to endure just to prove it. Look what Jackie Robinson had to do and all the tact and the patience and everything. I mean, the slurs that he was called just to prove it. Like, to have to go through that just to prove that we are equal in terms of our ability to play this sport. And a lot of times we're going to, you know, and not just equal, we're going to be the best at what we do. And so that dismissal and this acknowledgement that we did that, you are a part of us, is again, not just great for those players. It's great for baseball.
Yes.
And it's frankly, it's what we've needed to do for a long time. And so you wake up here, and like you talked about, it'll be official, you know, with that game. But Josh Gibson is now the new career leader in batting average. Brad mentioned it, going over Cobb. And that changes all of the record books.
Absolutely.
And, again, you can get into the weeds with this and say, well, you know, how many of these records count? Because they don't, and the Athletics got a great breakdown of everything. They don't have all the information. They estimate they've only got about 75% in terms of the statistics and everything when it went down. A lot of times, dude, they're looking into some of these game stories to find the information because the box scores, everything else are gone, and you got two-line roundups.
Yep.
And so it's a bunch. It's incomplete. They estimate they've got about 75% of the information. Some would hold against them. Well, those were 60-game seasons, right, as opposed to longer 100, 162-game seasons. But the way they've done it, breaking it down by number of at-bats per game, you know, as long as you were getting three or more, then you qualify. It took them 3 years to come up with the formulas. So it's not just something where you're taking a group of incomplete stats and throwing them in on top of a bunch that you know qualify. They've gone through this formula, 3 years of work in terms of determining what should and what shouldn't qualify. And yes, as a result, these players now, particularly their families who are still alive and have held on, had to hold on to that pain of being sort of dismissed from their part in the sport of baseball. They, you know, you get it all together now. These folks qualify, and it's a great thing. Again, I get on Manfred. I hope, you know, the Pete Rose thing. I feel like it's past time to bring him on back, and you know he's paid the price and everything else. And I just think there are some of these things that baseball should go ahead and acknowledge. Bring it on back, and not that it's going to fix the popularity of the sport. I think they've done a decent job shortening games, trying to bring folks back already. But this is something that I do think is not just good, again, for the black folks who were dismissed, but for all of baseball, the sport in general, because Negro League history is baseball's history.
Yep.
And so now it'll all be in one record book.
I think that they did a good job starting with recognizing Jackie Robinson's significance when the movie came out, and then they, of course, do the Jackie Robinson Day where everybody wears Jackie Robinson's number, the Major League Baseball players.
Yep.
But I like what they're doing here because I think, first of all, the specialty games are great. I think doing the Rickwood Field in Birmingham, where I guess not only the Birmingham Barons, but they also had they were called the Birmingham Black Barons of the Negro League. They had two teams. They were totally segregated, and they had a black team, and then they had the white team, which is not that long ago. And I think, you know, young people who play baseball, like my son and others, they need to learn the history of the game, and it's incorporating it together, I think, is good. I do think, though, in general, baseball does a piss poor job of marketing their league. I think the NFL's done a great job. You know, they've taken advantage of the draft. They've taken advantage of everything. They've done a whole calendar. NBA kind of does this too. Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball's TV package is awful. Like, you can't see all the games. You know, this Rickwood game, at least they're going to have on Fox. But as a baseball fan, it's also not a diverse thing. Still, we've still got Little League trying to get into the city of Memphis, and they're trying to diversify the game. It's kind of a rich man's game still because of the diversity, and
diversity's dropped. It was higher in the 70s and 80s than it is now.
And it's because baseball's become a for-profit organization with travel teams, and all that is a money machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes who can pay for all that stuff.
Well, yeah, and basketball is a cheaper avenue for the average black kid that's coming up without the resources and everything else than it is to get on a baseball team. Got to pay to get out the burbs. Got
to pay to get out there, to travel.
We've long been trying to, you know, fix that issue in terms of bringing baseball back into the inner city. And it's hard to do because it's still expensive.
Golf, similar story.
Even if the effort's there, it's still expensive with the gloves, the uniforms, the cleats, everything else. It's still an expensive sport to play. The acknowledgement, though, that,
it's a good start.
That the history of the Negro League is our history, again, can help with that when you've got black kids who don't look at baseball as something that's going to embrace them. Again, it's not going to be a catalyst to bring blacks back into baseball. Those numbers have dwindled, but it can certainly help when you're baseball now and you're saying, well, we're not dismissing you anymore. We've acknowledged what blacks and brown folks did for the game.
Yes.
And frankly, we want to embrace you again. We want you to know you're a part of this. And so, you know, maybe again, late in terms of time coming, but better late than never.
How about Josh Gibson, though? So not only does he cap Ty Cobb with batting average.
Babe Ruth, he went over in a
couple categories. Ruth in slugging percentage, and he moves ahead in OPS of Babe Ruth in those categories,
so
too.
So Gibson was the man.
This guy is friggin' unbelievable. Hey. Like, I'm going to have to go back and watch some Josh Gibson film.
I want to tell you.
If I can find it.
I want to tell you there's a movie.
At age 18, it says in the Daily Memphian, he played his first professional game right here in Memphis in 1930 for the Memphis Red Sox.
Remember Forrest Gump and the guy that played he's going to do bubblegums for his partner. I can't remember his name, but his partner got shot in the butt.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, him or somebody played Josh Gibson in a movie that I can't come up with right now because we got to move on.
McKelty Williamson is the dude's name?
Yeah.
Played Bubba?
Yeah. I want to tell you, he played in a movie, he played Josh Gibson. It might have been another actor, but I see his face, and I can't remember. It was years ago. I can't remember that movie from start to finish, but there's stuff out there about how good Josh Gibson was,
and like his family
said with this news. It's when you hear Josh Gibson's name now. I'm reading the direct quote. It's not just that he was the greatest player in the Negro Leagues. This is his great grandson Sean talking to USA Today. But one of the greatest of all time.
Ever.
These aren't just Negro League stats, they're Major League Baseball stats. And so, again, for those families of these players, this has been something they've longed for, more of an acknowledgement, all of that. But now an official acknowledgement, especially when you're talking about, you know, the top of these categories that Josh Gibson is now at. It's crazy.
Well, and they'll have those tribute jerseys. They'll have the game and the Negro League tribute game on June 20th. Cardinals and Giants at Rickwood Field, and that's when the stats will become public on the internet, live from Birmingham on June 20th. We're going to have the game on 790 as well here in Memphis.
Next story.
All right. USC freshman guard Bronny James is going to remain in the 2024 NBA draft, forgo his remaining college eligibility. Rich Paul told ESPN and others that this morning. Again, deadline is tonight, and we know that well because around here we're waiting word from David Jones. The Tigers guard, swingman, honorable mention, AP honorable mention last year, absolute stud for them, has a decision to get in before 10:59 tonight. Bronny James has already got the decision in, and Rich Paul is handling that business. A little bit odd here with Bronny James, the number 54 prospect in the ESPN 100, just had the heart condition, heart deal earlier in his, this past year, I guess calendar year. That shortened his college season at USC. He's been cleared by NBA doctors. Says he doesn't care whether he's one or he's 58 in terms of where he's drafted. But they are, and Rich Paul has said that, they do have some expectations. And one of those expectations is that he will not be doing a two-way deal with a team. That if you are drafting Bronny James, you're going to do so with a real deal. Okay, and obviously one that's going to include a plan for development and everything else. Yeah, I mean that's Rich Paul really going out there. They're between Rich Paul and then Woj, tweeting how beneficial Bronny could be to a G League organization or whatever else in terms of butts and seats. I think they're doing their best to get him drafted in the first round. Sounds like it could easily be the second round though, and I don't know, man. As far as the tying it to LeBron. I we discussed it a little bit yesterday. I'm just not buying into, LeBron's willing to leave the situation in L.A. where he's got total control, can frankly have his podcast buddy, J.J. Redick, named the coach if he wants to go to a team that decides to draft Bronny but isn't close to a championship. I just cannot see LeBron leaving just to play with Son but getting further away from a shot at a real championship. I can't see that. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't think LeBron is using his son as sort of a pawn here. There's been some discussion of that in terms of his future or anything else. I do think there's been some of, listen, I'm with you guys, the Lakers. I want you to take him, right? I'm sure there's been some of that. But in terms of LeBron's, I just don't see LeBron willing, again, to leave an L.A. situation that's not for a situation he feels like is closer to a championship. Now, if he could control that, hey, Philly, come and get me and then draft my son, I'm sure, yes. But if you're talking about, one of these teams that's off the radar right now, I don't know, just Houston or somebody like that, that decides we want Bronny, we're going to take a chance because we want to develop him. We think he can be a Derek White or Drew Holiday type. LeBron ain't going down to Houston to go play with him for a year or two, these finals of the year. It's about legacy for LeBron. I hope that's what he's planning. Because if you're now picking your just playing with your son, being over him, lording over him in his first couple of years in the league, well, then you've made that the priority over winning championships, which I thought it was all about. It's about climbing the list of greatness. Let him be his own man. Be great if the Lakers can draft him, and I'm sure if they've got a shot and a shot at doing so, they will. I suspect they're going to move up in the second round to get him. I don't know. Maybe one of these teams will get him in the first. I suspect the Lakers will move up in the second round and snatch him earlier than whatever their pick is in the second round. That's just sort of a gut feeling. But I don't know, man. Maybe this is the best path for Bronny. It depends on the organization he's with in terms of developing him. I would have told you that coming back to college and again being a leader of a college team going to do a lot more for you than sitting. Those first couple of years, yeah, you got some G League action where you're a target. You may be, if this is a two-way deal, you may be on an NBA bench, but you're not playing. I mean, you would have gotten more, it feels like, from a development standpoint, and particularly when, coming off of not playing basketball for a whole season last year because of the heart condition. Just feels like to me you get more from a development standpoint, going back to a college, being the leader. You were certainly not, the opportunity didn't present itself at USC because of your health. You're joining a team midseason. I'd like to see that first again, this is about Bronny and his development into his own player. And he's not going to be his dad. I think that would have helped him more than toiling for a year or two and then maybe getting a crack at it, you know, after that.
Jason, it's the same thing I would tell David Jones. Like, and David Jones doesn't have the stock coming out of the draft combine that Bronny does.
Yeah, Bronny actually performed well up there.
Yeah,
right.
David did the opposite, and his metrics didn't. He didn't have a 42-inch vert. You know, like so. I would say the same thing to David Jones as I would say to Bronny, which is you're better off betting on yourself, especially if you're going to get paid. If you're David Jones, Bronny, I don't think he needs the money as much as David Jones does. But in the case of David Jones, like if it were. I think it's easy for us to say it, too, because we're not sitting in there with the lure of the NBA or the opportunity hanging over our head.
Yeah, they feel like they're close.
You think you're close. I get it. You want to bet on yourself and go to the NBA or get in the draft or even miss the draft and sign as a free agent. But, I just think outside looking in, if I'm David Jones, I would really come back, man, and I hope we get that news on him. And Bronny, that one didn't surprise me as much because of what we saw in the combine. The thing that is going to be interesting is when LeBron James – He becomes a free agent, which is probably going to be this month. He's going to opt out of this deal. And then you're going to see a lot more drama. Like, if you think the drama's crazy right now, Jason, just wait till he opts out of this contract.
Well, I mean, we'll go into a frenzy. I just think if he's opting out, he's opting to opt back in on a short-term deal where, you know, again, leaving the Lakers at this point when you're about to name who the head coach is and all that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Somewhere else. You know what you're getting with AD on a season-to-season basis. You're out there in L.A. where you're comfortable. A move, you know, at his age, there's so much new, whether it's the coach, whether it's the new roster, so much new and so much unknown, even if you've got your son, unless you're going to a situation like a Philadelphia where they've got Embiid and Maxey mm-hmm. and look like they're just one piece away, you come in and be a real third piece for them. I just cannot see him leaving the security that he's got right now. And so my thing is if he opts out, it's to opt back in on a, you know, another 2-year deal where he's got another option. That's just the way I see it. You could be right, and it'll send us all into a frenzy.
Oh,
like
yeah.
you talk about an offseason that's all of a sudden added a ton of attention in terms of where he can go.
Crazy.
And we'll weigh or not, you know, whether the I mean, I don't think the Grizzlies have got the cap room. They couldn't even consider it. But if he hits the open market, my gosh, yes, the NBA world will go crazy. I don't suspect that's going to happen. Lakers are going to do everything in their power, keep him happy. Like I said, they're about to name whoever he mm-hmm. wants to be the head coach instead of asking Anthony Davis. So I would be shocked. I'd be shocked, but I would give you the credit if he does decide to do it. I'd say, man,
well,
you said this was an option.
It doesn't matter.
You said he might do this. No. I doubt he will.
No credit necessary, man. We're talking sports, and I would say for Bronny James, I think you are right when you say Lakers front runners to get. I bet that's where he ends up. I bet Bronny James is.
Oh, they'll take care of it. They'll move up if they have to move up into the late first round. I suspect that
Phoenix. I'd put second though.
Will.
I could see a situation where Phoenix late first gets him, and then some weird stuff happens. And then LeBron takes a long-term deal with less money just to
if a team like Phoenix takes him just because you like him and you know you're not even in the hunt to get dad
do you
understand the distraction
totally
that he's gonna be
yes
for the first couple of years them asking you more questions about Bronny at the end of your bench
that's a good point.
Then they're asking about what you're gonna do with Bradley Beal and the situation that you've got now, then they're asking about Book, like, and then the sort of I would think resentment that would build up from those other veteran players that this dude is such a story coming into this, a guy that I'm sure in many of their eyes, they would say, shouldn't even be here, should still be playing in college. You're inviting into your organization.
Bring the drama.
Yeah,
you're inviting all the drama.
Yeah. I mean, that's Drew said it for us. He was up at the combine. Like, the Bronny thing was a phenomenon. Yeah. It was what the NBA media had descended on the combine for. It was the story. And that sort of circus follows him. Specifically for the teams that are not going after LeBron, that just say we want Bronny the player, that's going to follow him there.
Yeah.
And so while there will be attention, if you put him on your G League team, sure, maybe there'll be more butts in seats. I could also see it being a locker room issue that this guy is being a guy that's not even in our rotation is being asked about. The coach is being asked about him in these press conferences as the third or fourth question when we're trying to make a run of the playoffs and everything else that this kid will not be a part of. I could see some general managers saying, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
Like, why do I want to bring, you know, and in Bronny's, you know, defense and to his credit, he's never been hasn't seemed like, you got to put me up in there because my dad is LeBron and I've earned this already. He's been willing, Brad, to earn what he has gotten. He's built himself up as a prospect, as a, you know, point guard prospect. Defensively, he's had to get better. Jump shot he's worked on. But all that said, even though he's earned this shot, he's still a distraction for whatever team drafts him.
To that point, though, we've never
seen
a player who is willing to pay their dues and then yet tells NBA franchises, I'm only going to work out for three teams. never seen that one before.
That's daddy's agency. Yeah. That's the way Rich Paul is doing business and Bronny, probably smartly, has allowed dad and Rich Paul to handle the business part of it. My guess is he won't have to sign a two-way. That Rich Paul's going to get him a real deal.
Oh, I agree.
And maybe it'll be as a first rounder. It could be, again, the Lakers. They got all the leverage, especially when it comes to the Lakers. If LeBron wants them to move up and take Bronny, they'll do it, again, just to keep him happy, to get him to sign, again, opt out of this one, do another 1-1, just so it gives them more of a future with LeBron. I think they're willing to do whatever, he asks of them. And so from that standpoint, Bronny, congratulations. I hope this works out for you. Still thought another year of college would have been better for your development. But best believe, we and the entire NBA community will all be watching and many waiting to call him a failure if it doesn't work out.
Next story.
That story is going to be the gift that keeps on giving,
Probably.
This is a wild story that you and I hit on last week, which is this Graceland scheme. And the email, there's an email that's been sent to the Daily Memphian and to other outlets this morning at 1 a.m. And it says, from the email about Graceland to these publications, the Daily Memphian, and they wrote about this in the Daily Memphian this morning, I didn't win this one, claiming responsibility for this whole scam where they were trying to go to the courts and get Graceland and basically take over Graceland from an investment company called Nossany Investments. A person purportedly representing the investment company made a failed attempt to sell Graceland through foreclosure, now claims to be using identity theft to run a scam all over the United States, including this story, Jason. They contacted the Daily Memphian at 1 a.m., said they had written this about having many identities and receiving money for these stolen identities. The email was written in a mix of English and Ugandan, which is one of the major languages spoke in Uganda.
I learned that this morning.
They used, and this is what the Daily Memphian did, according to their story, they used, like all of us, we use Google Translate now to translate these things. And so, of course, the scam didn't work. The company dropped its efforts to sell Graceland, and now the Tennessee Attorney General's office has opened an investigation. But the wildest thing is this person is opening up and sending an email from Uganda, basically, saying that, we were trying to fool y'all, and we've done this before in the United States, and we've got this dark web network of worms throughout the United States, and we're preying on stories like this one using birth certificates and other documents and personal information to get people to give us their homes. And in this case, a fake loan of $3.8 million, which never happened, by the way, from it was just from Lisa Marie, who allegedly put Graceland down as collateral for a bogus loan. So all this story was made up last week, as we were talking about last week, Jason. And I thought it was just so interesting that this was such a mainstream story. And immediately, I think we were all like, how can this be real? Mm-hmm. It can't be real. There's no way we could lose Graceland. It's worth several $100 million. And we've got like a whole tourism area across the street. We've got a hotel tied to this building. So it was always sort of an imaginary weird thing that just Graceland, the little mansion across the street that has, eight bedrooms or whatever, was just going to go on the market for $3.8 million for some bogus loan. And so this is a lot like these companies that take over Odyssey or our businesses, and they do ransoms, and they basically take you hostage for a payment.
Mm.
And so now this happened to Graceland, and it was totally bogus. Did you think it was bogus?
We did from the get-go. Yep. Knew something was off here, especially when we knew the notary never met with Lisa Marie. She said she never met.
So. Never met her. Forged signature.
Forged signature. So we knew something was fishy. Tony, one of our listeners, pointed to the Russians. Said, Jason, this kind of stuff happens all the time. You guys need
about
to
the
be
Russians.
Looking at fraud. You need to be looking at identity theft.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling out the Russians, although this seems to have been an admission by someone in Africa.
Yes.
Someone in Uganda. Speaking Uganda, that I did it. And you didn't read the. I would like at some point we really.
Oh,
need
here's
you,
the text message. I've got
point,
it right
we
in
need
front
you
of
to read.
Here's the text message. Now, again, this was translated from Uganda.
Right. This is you've translated to English.
You reporters don't listen. This will be my last LAS communication. You Americans got my worms in AZ this month. Nothing for anyone to look at. I didn't win this one. I've stole many identities and received monies. We don't win all. No American knows. We use their innocence and steal their identity. No more will be given to you, press. Stupida, you are. You're stupid. We are well known for various scams against people in America. You are telling the truth about what I said. Don't mix my truth around.
This is a frame job, by the way, to make it look like an African is taking credit for coming up a little short here, right? No, nobody's gonna brag about how good they are after losing Graceland, right?
Being who does
exposed
that?
Like no one.
No
that's,
one does
and
that.
That's
you
what
don't
I'm saying.
Tip your hand because they could track you.
And
somehow,
that's why
right?
It looks like a framing of us trying to put you.
So they're framing somebody
no,
else
what I'm
as opposed
is
to
the
it could
Russians
be the Russians
are trying to
they're
put
throwing
this
somebody
off on.
I
those
see.
Fantastic people of Uganda.
Yes.
Because again, this doesn't even make any sense of a guy who failed in this job. I didn't win this one, but I'll be back.
They're trying to throw us off like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, 100%, bro.
They take the mask off.
And you pull the mask off, and it's not an African.
It's a Russian.
It's a Russian identity thief.
I think you're right.
As Tony told us from the get-go. And so that's what
they're trying to throw. What do they call it? A red herring?
Throw us off the scent, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever. Yep.
They're trying to throw us off the scent.
Decoy.
And make us look to Africa and blame Africa because the whole narrative about African princes and everything else and how they reach out and ask you for money. They're trying to throw us off the scent. I'm going to go back to Russia.
like a hunting dog.
Because I just don't think this dude in Africa. And just woke up one day and says, you know what? I'm going to take over. I'm going to get Graceland.
The best line in there.
This is Russian identity theft, and I will continue to believe that until I see otherwise.
The best line in the translated Gandan message. By the way, shout out to the Daily Memphian for this translation from Google. The best line is, stupida you are. You are stupid. Various scams against people in America. Don't mix my truth around. That's made up.
No American knows we use their innocence.
Yeah.
And steal their identity with innocence spelled as a plural innocent person, not innocence.
Right, innocence.
It's misspelled.
Yes.
And so much of this is misspelled. Again, I think from the Russians trying to make it look like some dumb African guy tried to come in here and take over Graceland. This is a frame job, Brad. In my gut, deep down, it's telling me. Again, this is to make us look past Russia to the Africans and blame them. This is not on Africa.
So the New York Times said that they were based in Nigeria and are a ringleader on the dark web with network of worms laced throughout the United States, according to the Met. He said his ring preyed on the dead, the unsuspecting, the elderly, especially those in Florida and California, using birth certificates and other documents to discover personal information that aided in their schemes. Folks, if you're listening...
Russian hub in Nigeria.
You know, if you're listening and you get sucked in by one of these dudes who says your grandmother.
I mean, this thing got to court. This one's different than just the email that says.
But these
send me
happen
10,
all the time. You know, what's interesting is people pay them every day. Every day in Memphis,
just a bunch of old people that fall
some
for
old
it.
Person like my
the rest
parents,
of us know we've seen the stories.
But it's like, and they make a ton of money. But this one went to court in the damn city of Memphis, Tennessee, Shelby Chancery Court.
How slow do we look that we let this thing get to the state to the point that it did? Close enough that we were at. How
taking
slow do we look like
us.
Here in Memphis?
We do look a little silly, don't we?
You said, again, New York Times said this comes out of Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Russian base.
They're throwing us off the
Russian
scent.
Russian base in Nigeria.
Scent.
They got hackers and identity thieves. I'm just not sure my folks in Uganda could pull this
Have
off.
Have you ever been bilked out of anything in a scheme or a Ponzi scheme? Or I'm not trying to get too personal. You don't have to answer this. I don't think I've ever been bamboozled for money that I can think of.
Once.
You did once. You don't have to.
No, I'm happy to say it. And
okay.
They got me.
Now,
they,
I'm not talking about the hustle tickets you bought at the beginning of your tenure.
That's
here.
Exactly where I was going. The Memphis hustle hustled the hell out of my ass. I think I was the first and only season ticket holder that year.
I figured we were going there.
Them folks got me. You could see it as I was looking at you as you were asking a question.
Man, I saw
hustle, old smooth.
The hustle, hustled
year.
You. Did they have to write a bogus email? You says we will take your money if you don't
no,
buy season tickets.
No, because they tried to do that in year two, and I said hell no, and push delete. not getting me again. That's the most they ever got that I have, the whole smoothie ever got right too? There. Yeah, I'd never bought season tickets in my life. Spent way too much money.
You even did the tryout
marketing. I couldn't even give those away, fool. Nobody wanted them.
Southaven Ransom.
They don't want to see Austin Nichols. I got myself hyped up off the Tigers that would be on the team. Those tickets were worthless.
It's like the Graceland Ponzi scheme.
Never again. And I don't have enough money to buy real season tickets for Grizzlies.
Well, those suckers are.
Now, I mean, now
if you
want
to see the game down low, right, you know, you can buy all those.
It's too expensive. Okay. I know who could afford it. Norton Hurd IV could afford it.
Oh, there you go.
Especially with everything he's doing in the college basketball world, what he's doing with Team Thad. We'll talk to Norton Hurd IV in the third hour. That and a bunch more. Burger King, too. You know, it's their birthday this week?
I didn't know that.
For a fast food guy like me, that matters. And they're doing things for you on their birthday. We'll talk about that. That matters to a lot of Memphis people. We're always hitting up Burger King. Although I know it's not the highest thing on Brad's fast food list. We'll do all
and
more. No, that's what I figured. We'll do all that and more here third hour. You're listening to Jason John, 929 FM ESPN.